And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Brother Alfred, would you please ask the Lord to bless the message, please, sir? Amen. All right, as we continue in Acts chapter 20, you know the background. If you've been here, Paul is writing his, giving his closing statements to the elders there, the church of Ephesus, and he's meeting with them there, and he's going to depart, and we find that Paul has highlighted several aspects of his ministry early in Acts chapter number 20 there. He began to explain to them some direction of the ministry, some instructions for the local church. He highlights his ministry, some of his past preaching. And we looked at that last time. We looked at Paul's preaching was both to the Jews and to the Greeks, the Jews and the Gentiles. And Paul's message, if it could be summarized in 3.5 years there, Paul said, this is what I preach. I preach repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the world needs. That's what America needs. That's what the Jew needs. That's what the Gentile needs. They're all under sin. They're all guilty before God. And the only way to have peace with God is repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer for the problem. The problem is sin, and Christ has provided the answer and the payment for sin, but an individual must repent and acknowledge that he's wrong and he needs a Savior and he's guilty and put his faith and his trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that's going to save America. The only thing that's going to save this community, the only message that's going to save this world is the saving message of the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul said, that is what I preached everywhere. I testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul said there, furthermore, we're moving down a little bit further in Acts chapter number 20, and Paul said this. I want you to see what he says there in verse number 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice three things in these three verses we're going to read, verse 22, 23, and 24. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Now, I just said it earlier that Paul is going to depart and he's going to leave these elders, and he's saying, you're not going to see me anymore. He's given them these instructions. But look what he says in verse number 22. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Now, can you imagine the faith of the Apostle Paul? We're going to look at verse 23, what the Holy Ghost has revealed to him. But do you understand that Paul's faith is unmovable? It's unshakable, as we'll see in these other passages. But Paul says, I'm going to leave you, and I don't know what's going to transpire. You and I, that's not normal. We're creatures of habit, right? We like to know what's going to happen. We like to know what's ahead. We like to know what's going to transpire. At least I do, right? I don't like unexpected surprises. I like to know, hey, where are we going, when we're getting there, who's going to be there, and what time we're leaving. That's how I operate, amen? More importantly, what time we're leaving. But no, I like to know what's going on, what's the details, what's the parameters. But Paul said, listen, this man of faith, this preacher, this missionary, this church planter says, I'm about to leave you, and I don't know what's going to happen. But the verse doesn't stop. The thought doesn't stop. Look at verse number 23. He says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Hold up. Wait up. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this much. The Holy Ghost has revealed to me that there's going to be trouble. I'm out. Bonds, prison, affliction, persecution, trouble, contention, adversity. Paul said somewhere in Corinthians, he says, but a great and effectual door is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. You know, every time God's doing something, Satan's making a move. You've got to realize we're in this spiritual battle, friends. We're in this spiritual realm, and that Paul is going to leave here, and he says, I don't know what's going to go down. I don't know what's going to transpire, but I've been revealed by the Holy Ghost that it's bonds and afflictions. You know what most Christians would do at that point? I'm out. Lord, are you sure? Is this where you want me to go? Listen, I know there's trouble. I know there's problems going to come. I know there's going to be persecution, but can't you give me a different course? Isn't there something else for me, Lord? Isn't there something else that I can do, somewhere else that I can go? Are you sure that this is the will of God for my life, is that you want me to go here, and you've already revealed to me that it's going to be problems? I said it before, and it bears repeating, if you and the devil never cross paths, you're going the same direction. Amen. Listen, in the Christian life, you are met by opposition in the will of God. Doing what God wants you to do, living right, walking in the light, fellowshipping with God. It's not easy just because we're doing right. You can't do right and get away with it. Amen. And Paul said there's going to be afflictions. Paul said there's going to be bonds, not just in one city, not just in one place. Everywhere Paul went, every city, there was problems. Every town, there was contention. Every place, listen, he preached the gospel. He invested and dealt with people. And guess what came along with his ministry? Problems after problems after problems. You've heard me say it before, the ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. Amen. But there would be no ministry if there were no people. And Paul faced opposition from God's people. He faced opposition from the devil's people. And the Holy Ghost bore witness to him that when you go, it's going to be bonds and afflictions. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be problems. That is the Christian life. Man that is born of woman is full days, as few days and full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. Listen, the lost has trouble. The unbelievers have trouble and trials, but you know the difference between an unbeliever's trials and trouble is they don't have the Holy Spirit of God to comfort them through those trials and through those troubles and through those hardships. You're not exempt from trouble just because you're lost. You're not exempt from troubles just because you're saved and just because you're doing right and in the will of God. And Paul, this great man of God, said, I'm leaving. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this. There's going to be bonds, and there's going to be afflictions, and there's going to be trouble, and there's going to be persecution. And listen, some of those things we see are great that they transpired in the life of Paul. Why? We have the book of Philippians. We have his prison epistles when Paul was in bonds, and that how God greatly used the Apostle Paul in spite of the trials. In spite of the circumstances, in spite of all the problems in the ministry, God's hand was upon the Apostle Paul, and great things have transpired through these problems. But I want you to notice something about the Apostle Paul, what he says in verse number 24. But none of these things move me. Well, that's a good motto for the Christians now. You can't get them to move with spiritual X-lax. Most Christians don't want to do anything for God. That's their verse. None of these things move me. Amen? I'm not saying that as a slight towards anyone here, but the Christian life ought to be a life that we're involved in. We're serving God and we're doing something. It's not just where we sit back and we just go through the motions. Paul said, I'm going to face these problems. I'm going to face these afflictions, but guess what? It's not going to move me. I'm not going to be shaken. I'm not going to be removed. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep teaching. I'm going to keep planting churches in spite of the problems, in spite of the tragedies, in spite of being shipwrecked and beat and nearly lost my life. He says, I'm not going to be moved. He wasn't going to quit. You know, I've seen in my Christian life and heard of many Christians who quit for far less. They give up on God. They give up on the Lord. They quit reading their Bible. They quit praying. They quit witnessing. They quit serving. They quit going to church. Why? Because of far less than what the Apostle Paul went through. Somebody offended me, or somebody didn't speak to me, or so-and-so did this, or so-and-so did that. Listen, Paul said, in spite of all the problems that I'm going to go through, he said, in spite of the conflict and the afflictions and the imprisonment and the beating and the stoning and the hungering and the thirsting, all of that, he says, I will not be moved. You know what we need in Christianity, in biblical Christianity? We need some Christians that are not going to shift. They're not going to falter. They're not going to go back. They're not going to move. They need to be steadfast in spite of the opposition, in spite of the persecutions, in spite of the problems and the persecutions and whatever else comes along with your Christian life and living it out for God. You and I are to be determined that we're not going to budge. I don't care. I take the world and give me Jesus, amen? I don't care if the whole world turns against the Bible, the whole world turns against Jesus Christ, the whole world turns against the truth. I want to stand and not be moved in spite of what's going on around me. I want to press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And like Paul says, none of these things move me. I want to be resolved to not be moved. But he doesn't stop there. He says, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Paul said, listen, I know there's trouble. I know there's problems, and I know there's persecutions. I know there's contention. I know I'm going to be in prison, and there's afflictions, but by the grace of God, I'll stay steadfast. I'll stick with it. I won't move. He says, but listen, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Paul's life was not about himself. Paul recognized early on to live is what? Christ. And to die is gain. His life wasn't just a little bit about Christ. His life didn't just have Christ sprinkled on top of it. His life didn't just involve Christ 2 or 3 days out the week. He didn't just put on Christ when he went into the synagogue. Paul's every move of his life was centered and focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. It was all or nothing. You know, most Christians, that's not the case, right? They're Sunday saints and Monday ain'ts. They put Jesus on when they pull in the parking lot, and when they get back in their car, they take Jesus off. It's kind of like a coat. And that's how modern American Christianity is. They're not consistent. But Paul said, my life, I do not count it dear. Paul was not trying to make his life easier or better. Paul's life was full of troubles, and he said, I was not going to be moved. Listen, if you're saved here this morning, I don't know who's saved and who's not saved this morning, but your life is not your life. You are bought with a price. Ye are not your own. Paul says, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. Your life is not about you. Your life should not be about where you want to live and how much money you want to make, and what job you want to have, and who you want to marry, and how many kids that you want to have, and where should I go. Your life should be a life that is built upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your life? Is your life dear unto yourself? Paul said over there in the book of Acts that those men that have hazarded their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is your life a life that's fulfilling? I'm not talking about materialistic possessions. I'm not talking about how many toys you have. I'm not talking about where you live and how much money you have. Is your life a life that is built upon Christ, or is your life dear unto yourself? Is your life something that you want to be better and improve your life and have a better? And there's nothing wrong with having a good life. I'm not against that. But you know what? Paul didn't put any stock in his life. His life was for one purpose. And that purpose was to glorify and honor God and to serve God, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. That was his life. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count on my life dear unto myself, notice, so that I might finish my course with joy. Two reasons that Paul says that he was not going to be moved. Two reasons here that Paul says that he would not be deterred from the task at hand, and in spite of the afflictions, in spite of the bonds, and in spite of the problems, Paul says, I'm not going to be moved. I want to remain steadfast. I want to remain secure. And he says, here's why, that I might finish my course with joy. Paul recognized that his life, that his ministry was a course that he was on. And he was determined to not be moved, but he wanted to finish his course. But he wanted to finish his course with joy. Now, that's a hard one. He wanted to finish with joy, and Paul's joy wasn't contingent upon his circumstances or his environment or the reception rate of his preaching. Paul's joy was found in living for the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfilling the will of God for his life. And he said that I might finish my course with joy. Notice, and here's another reason, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul knew that his ministry was to proclaim the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures, because Christ came into the world, what? To save sinners, and God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9, and Paul says, I'm determined to finish because God has given me purpose and God has given me meaning in life, and the meaning is to finish my course and to finish it with joy and to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. I hope your life is more than just accumulating a bunch of stuff and working and then retiring and then what? Give God everything. He doesn't deserve the leftovers. He deserves the best. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Paul says, I want to finish my course with joy. I want to show you something this morning regarding exactly what Paul is implying here. Paul was determined not to be moved, to be unshakable. He knew that there was going to be problems, yet he must go. He knew there would be afflictions, but he couldn't quit. He knew there'd be persecutions, but he had to press on. He knew there'd be adversaries, but he still wanted to go forth with the gospel of Jesus Christ in spite of the adversaries, in spite of the afflictions, in spite of the people, and in spite of the problems. Paul was resolved to continue for the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the grace of God. You know what was said about Martin Luther? And I'm not a Protestant, and I know Martin Luther was a Calvinist, but there's one true thing he said. He might have said a couple true things, but this one, when he was warned not to go by his friends to Worms, this certain area, this is before the Protestant Reformation, and I thank God for that, because the King James Bible became a result of the Protestant Reformation, and I know I'm not a Protestant. We're never Catholic, and we didn't come out of the Catholic Church, but I want to tell you something, what Martin Luther said. He said, when warned by his friends not to go to Worms, he said, I will go thither, though there should be devils on every housetop. Martin Luther was warned that there was going to be problems. He knew there was going to be problems, but he knew he had a mission. There was something that he set forth to accomplish. And you ought to study out the life of Martin Luther and his ministry and how God used him. And he says, listen, I will go thither, although there be devils on every housetop. He was going against the Roman Catholic Church. And he knew there'd be problems, there'd be trouble, there'd be adversaries. But he was still resolved to go. Paul said, there's bonds and afflictions, but I'm not going to be moved. He said, I want to finish my course. In Hebrews chapter 10, I want to show you something about this course. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 12. I don't know what I said, 10. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Christian, you have a course. Your life is on a course. What course are you on? You're in a race. I'm in a race. And we have to view this race as something as the Apostle Paul viewed it. Look at verse number 1 in Hebrews chapter 12. Says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul likens his life as a course, in his ministry as a course. Here in Hebrews, I believe Paul was the author of the book of Hebrews, and he says, we are in a race. Whether you recognize it or not, that you are in a race, Christian. You are in a battle. You are on a course. Your life is going down a course, and I want to say about that race and about that course, you know, there's two important aspects of your race and your course and your ministry and your Christian life, and guess one of them is not how you start. You know, the most important thing in a race in a Christian life is not how you start. You can start off good and start off well and start off fast and start off strong. There's many people that do in physical races. They get a good start. They get a good jump. They get a good lead. They've got a good foundation. But there comes a problem when they don't finish right. You can have the best start in your Christian life. You can have the best lead. You can have the best advancement. But guess what? If you don't run that race lawfully and you don't finish right, it doesn't matter how you started. There's plenty of Christians I know that started off with the right home and the right foundation and the right doctrine, but guess what? They somehow got off course. And you don't remember how they started. You don't remember how they began. You don't remember the initial onset of the shoot of the gun. You know what you remember in a race? You remember how they ran and how they finished and how they placed. Christian, let me ask you about your Christian life. How's your course? How are you running now? I'm not concerned how you started 5 years ago. I'm not concerned how you started 20 years ago. I'm not concerned that you've been in it for 50 years. How are you running now? Some of you all have been saved longer than I've been living. But how are you running your race? How's your race? How's your course? How are you running? How's your life? How's your ministry? Some of you have been lapped. Some of you fell back on your course. Some of you got a little tired in your race, and you let off the gas a little bit. I'm not talking about physically tired. That comes with age, right? The older you get, the harder things get, and you can't do what you used to do. I understand there's limitations, but I'm talking about spiritually. Some of you let off on your praying. Some of you backed off on your love and devotion towards God and your race. It's not what it used to be. You did run strong. You did run well. You were doing good. You were staying the course. But now what you did, you backed off a little bit. You slowed down on your Bible reading. You pumped the brakes. Some of you used to pray, and some of you used to read the Bible, and some of you used to witness, and now it's just take it or leave it. Oh, we're busy. I'm tired. We've got a lot going on. I've got to go here, and I just can't right now. I just don't have the time to. How are you running your race? Paul said he wasn't going to be moved. Paul didn't start off right. He started off by killing Christians, persecuting Christians. He had a bad start. But you know what he did? He stuck the course. He stayed the course. He wanted to finish well. How are you going to finish your race? How are you going to finish your course? You're in a race. And listen, it's urgent. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. The Christian life is long. It's enduring. But there ought to be a sense of urgency when it comes to our Christian life. We ought to run. We ought to walk. But we ought to speed up. And listen, there are people that are dying without Jesus Christ. We need a sense of urgency in our Christian life. We shouldn't take it leisurely. You're going to get passed up. You're going to get left behind. In this Christian race, look at Hebrews chapter 12. He says, wherefore we seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Listen, if you're going to run this Christian life, if you're going to run this race and stay this course, there's some things that you're going to have to put down. There's some things that you are going to have to lay aside. He said, let us lay aside the weight. If there's something you holding you down from serving the Lord and going forward and doing more for the gospel and doing more for others and living out your life for Jesus Christ, you're going to have to put that thing aside, whatever it is. He said, the weight and the sin. They're not the same. The weight doesn't have to be grievous. The weight doesn't have to be wicked. The weight doesn't have to be iniquity and sin. It's just something that's slowing you down, whatever it is. You know, Christian, what's holding you back from running your race. You can't run a race with weights on. You ever see those guys that train and they wear those weighted vests? And a lot of them, when I was younger, I used to wear ankle weights and try to jump faster and run faster. And, you know, you train with those things, and they wear those vests, and some of them run behind with a parachute behind them. You know, they do that for training, practice, that added resistance, that added weight. But you know what they do when it's game time? They shed that weight. They remove those bands. They remove those bags. And guess what they do? They lay them aside because they recognize they can't run their race weighted down. What is holding you down, holding you back, holding you from going forward to finish your course with joy, the course of life that God has laid out in front of you? I can't run your race. We each have a race. We each have a course. And listen, you are going to have to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ when you run this race, because if you get your eyes off of Christ and eyes on the other runners, you are going to get distracted. You are going to get sidetracked. You are going to get discouraged. In order for us to finish our race, we're going to have to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the finish line and the author and finisher of our faith. Because listen, Christian, I'll be honest. If you look at me and run my race, you might get discouraged. And if I look at you and evaluate your race and how you're running and the speed and what you're doing and the obstacles and the hurdles and everything that's in your life that's weighing you down, I might get sidetracked. But stay in your lane and keep running your race so you can finish with joy. How's your race? How's the course that God has you on? Paul says to looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Look at verse 3, Hebrews 12, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Listen, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know what happens after you run so long? After you run so fast? I've never got into running. I like riding a bike better. I've never seen anybody running that were smiling. No one looks happy. Reminds me of that Bible verse, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Amen? But listen, you know what happens when you run a while? You know what happens when you run? You eventually get tired. You want to slow down. You know, the older you get physically, I understand you're getting tired. I understand the audience. I know who I'm preaching to. You get tired. But listen, you got to keep going spiritually. Listen, you can get tired in the work, but don't get tired of the work. You've got to keep going, and God's grace is sufficient, and God's grace is able, and God's grace can give you the strength and give you the power to do more and to keep going and to finish your course with joy. I don't know how you're running. You know your race. You know your course. Some of you just stepped to the side a little bit and you've got off track. Some of you about to throw in the towel, or might have already. Some of you just getting ready to cross the finish line, but are you going to finish with joy? Paul said, I'm not going to be moved. I'm determined to finish this race with joy. 1 Corinthians 15, last verse, and we're done. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 55. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But notice in verse number 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. How? How do we get the victory? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've already won part of the race. We're already victorious in Jesus Christ. We're already on the winning side. He's already given us the victory in all things that pertain to life and godliness. You can do it. We can do it in spite of the world, in spite of everything around us, in spite of how the economy is. We have the victory in Jesus Christ. We're victorious. We're more than conquerors for Him that loved us. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. I want to finish my course. I want to fight a good fight. I want to war a good warfare. I want to keep the race. Why? Because somebody needs to hear the gospel of the grace of God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about heritage. It's about the gospel. And how are they going to hear if we quit our course? Somebody has to stay. Somebody has to fight. Somebody has to go. Somebody has to pray. They need to hear. Paul's ministry was to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. It wasn't to sit back and relax. It was problems after problems after problems in prison and persecution, yet he still preached. How shall they hear, friend, without a preacher? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you quit, if you slow down, if you get off track, somebody won't hear the gospel of the grace of God. It's our responsibility. We have been called ambassadors and given the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile sinners to a holy God. I'll close with this. Galatians 6, chapter 9. Paul says, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Friend, the spirit is willing, but the flesh, your flesh is an enemy of service to God. Your flesh is an enemy to proclaiming the gospel. But by the grace of God and the Spirit of God, God can enable you and I, empower us to keep going in spite of our age, in spite of our circumstances, in spite of our health conditions. Pray, go, stay, do something, run your course, and finish your race with joy. Why? To testify of the gospel of the grace of God. The greatest news this world could ever hear is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Alfred, would you close in prayer once more, and we'll be dismissed. Thank you.